Welcome once again to Sunday School, a Bible study. I pray that you and I will be schooled spiritually in the things of God today. Today we want to look at Born to Die. Born to Die. To die. By the time we come to the conclusion of this particular message, I believe you're going to find out that what you probably thought this message would be about, according to the title, will be a bit different. We will cover, to some degree, what you might be expecting from the title, but I believe with all my heart that God has something for us that we all need to be reminded of throughout our lives as Christians. In eternity, before time as we know it began, God the Son said this to God the Father, as recorded in Psalm 40, verses 6 through 8. Now, we'll only get through the first sentence before I have to stop and refer to another scripture. But listen, please listen. Psalm 40, verse 6. Sacrifice, this is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in eternity, speaking to the Father. Sacrifice an offering you did not desire. My ears have you opened. That word opened there. Now, I've gone over this before with you. I'm going to go over it with you again. My ears you have opened. The word opened can be translated digged or bored, as taking an implement and boring through. Even pierced, and maybe pierced is the best word here. My ears have you pierced, says the Son of God to God the Father. Exodus chapter 21. We get a picture of Christ here with his Father. If you buy a Hebrew servant, he shall serve 6 years. And in the seventh, he shall go out free and pay nothing. If he comes in by himself, he shall go out by himself alone. If he comes in married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master has given him a wife during the time in which he was a servant, and she has borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's. And he shall go out by himself. The servant shall go out by himself. Notice that the master gave him his wife, and from that there were children. But if the servant plainly says, I love my master, my wife, and my children. Christ loves the Father. He loves his church. He loves the children that God gave him. I will not go out free, says the servant. Then his master shall bring him to the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or to the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear with an awl. An awl is a tool, again, used to pierce the ear, sharp-edged, sharp-pointed, and go through the lobe of the ear. And he shall serve him, the servant shall serve the master forever. Now, friends, in humanity, you can't serve a human being in such a sense forever. This is a picture of Christ serving his Father forever. Going on now with Psalm 40. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have pierced. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book written of me. Scriptures testify of Christ from cover to cover. I delight to do your will, O my God. And your law is within my heart. The sacrifice and offering that God did not desire, the burnt offering and sin offering that God did not require, had to do with animals, as we see explained and revealed by apostolic authority in Hebrews chapter 10. And in Hebrews 10:4, we read, not possible, not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Animal sacrifice could not remove sin. In that scripture, in Hebrews, it immediately follows with Psalm 40, verses 6 through 8. Friends, Jesus is that eternal servant who in the fullness of time was born of a woman, born under the law. Galatians 4:4. And then back to Hebrews 10:10. By the will of God, we, Christians, the elect, have been sanctified, set apart by God, for God, to be made holy. We have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once. I think your Bibles have "for all" inserted there. And actually that word "once" means upon one occasion. One occasion and one only. The offering of the body of Jesus Christ. God did require the death of his only begotten Son, the true Lamb of God, to take away the sins of his people. Just before Christ was born, his mission was again spoken of as recorded by Matthew in Matthew 1, verse 18 through 21. Please listen as I read. I'm reading from the King James, New King James Version. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, before they had intimate relations, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being just and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son. And you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. Folks, to save his people from their sins, Christ had to die. We, as his people, have redemption, salvation, through his blood. the forgiveness of sins. Having made peace for us through the blood of his cross. Colossians chapter 1, verses 14 and 20. Christ was born to die. Now, before you turn away from this, remember what I said in the beginning. There's much more to this than you think. But let's not forget, and here we begin to show you some things, but let's not forget that Christ had to complete his course of human life in sinless perfection, being perfectly obedient to God the Father and God's law, that the eternal Son of God knew that that was to be his course as a human being. Was already stated earlier when we read Psalm 40. He said this, remember now, he knew what was his course of life. Behold, I come. I delight to do your will, O my God. Now listen, and your law is within my heart. God's justice would not be satisfied with anything short of absolute sinless perfection, without blemish, without spot. Now, for those who think it was easy for Christ not to sin in his humanity, I want you to listen to the following. Hebrews 5:8. He learned. Now, I don't understand this, folks, but in his humanity, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. That wasn't easy for the Lord Jesus Christ, folks. In his humanity, it was not easy to be sinless. In his flesh, Christ was tempted in all things the same way we are tempted. That is clearly stated in Hebrews 4:15. And as it also states in that verse, in that temptation, he was without sin. The word without means apart from. Christ had no part with sin in his humanity. Now, what I'm going to say now, I don't understand, as I've said previously, but it is true. Not only did God require Christ to die physically in his humanity, but Christ had to die to his human will. I want you to look with me to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. And we are going to read verses 36 through 42. This is after the Passover supper. They have made their way to the Garden of Gethsemane. Then Jesus came with them, his disciples, to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." He goes a short distance to pray. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, John and James. And he began to be, listen to this. In Christ's humanity, he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. This was not easy, folks. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death." Folks, that's deep sorrow. "Stay here and watch with me." He wanted somebody to be with him, folks. He wanted someone to be with him. Dare I say he was lonely in his humanity? He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me." Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Behold, I come to do your will, O my God. This wasn't easy for Jesus Christ, folks. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed willing, but the flesh weak." Now, folks, I believe that he was not only speaking to those about him, but he was talking about himself. In his humanity, emotionally, he had been weakened. And I'm going to prove that for you in a minute from the scripture. Again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." Folks, this wasn't easy for the Lord Jesus Christ. It was extremely, extremely difficult. Reading from Luke, remember I just said I have something to show you about Christ being weakened. Luke 22, verse 41, I'm going to read through verse 44. "And he," Christ, this is the same scene in Gethsemane, "and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, 'Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done.'" And then you know what happened immediately? Immediately? "Then an angel appeared to him from heaven," listen to these two words, folks, "strengthening him." Strengthening him. "And being in agony," folks, he needed to be strengthened in his humanity. "And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly." This great sorrow that Christ suffered left him needing to be strengthened. Though God, he was human. Now, I told you, folks, I don't understand that. But I can read the Bible here. I can read these scriptures. His agony was so great. "Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground." It wasn't easy for the Lord Jesus Christ to die to his human will. It was extremely agonizing. Though tempted in his human will, he remained obedient, submitting to his Father's will, being obedient to the death of the cross. Listen up now. He trusted his Father as to the joy that was set before him, and endured the cross, though he despised the shame. You'll find that in the scriptures. He had to die to self, folks. Brothers and sisters, Christ died to self and submitted to his Father. He was born to die for his people, both physically and to self in his humanity. Now, I'd like to show you how we, you and I, are to follow in this matter of born to die. Listen to this, because there's something very, very, very important to understand. Listen to the Apostle Peter in his first letter to God's people, chapter 2, verse 21. He was speaking there of a Christian suffering for doing good. Suffering for doing good. And as led by the Holy Spirit, Peter said this: "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." Of course, Christ himself said, "Follow me." And in addition, he said this about those who truly belong to him. John 10, 27. Christ said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." There have been Christians who have followed Christ to the point that they died in his name. They were killed because they were Christians. You can see that down even in historical accounts by non-religious entities. In Matthew 24:9, Christ said this concerning the end of the age: the tribulation, the great, a message I brought. "They will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake." Of other saints being killed, Hebrews 11:37 says this, testifies of this: "They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed by the sword." And due just to the natural course of most human life, we will die physically. We will die physically as Christians. But there is an exception. There is an exception we must be aware of related to our title, born to die. I want to read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. If I could just find it. I do know where it is. Right before the book of 2 Thessalonians and then Timothy's letters. First, and I said chapter 5, let's look to chapter 4, excuse me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15. "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, remaining," we who are alive. This is the last day, folks. This is the end of the age. "That we who are alive, remaining until the coming of the Lord, will by no means precede those who are asleep," those who are dead. "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, remaining, shall be caught up together with them in the air," excuse me, "in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord." There's more. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we've looked at these verses in the recent past. Verses 51 and 52, they speak of the same reality we just read of here in 1 Thessalonians. Paul says this, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall not all die. But we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet." The last trumpet. This is the end. Same time frame we see there in 1 Thessalonians. "For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we, those who are alive, shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal put on immortality." See, there's a big difference here, isn't there, folks? The reality is clear. Not all Christians will be born to die physically. But another reality, this is the heart of this message, folks. Another reality is unmistakably clear. All Christians must die to their own will. They must put to death their sinful desires. All Christians are born to die to self. No one, not one, you nor me, can follow Christ without denying ourselves. Matthew chapter 16, reading at verse 24. Again, I read from the New King James. "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.'" The cross, I would suggest to you folks, there's only one cross that we have. There are many trials and many tribulations, but there's only one cross, and that's dying to self. "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it." His life. Selfishness. Doing your own thing. We need to die to that, folks. "But whoever loses his life," the life I just spoke of there, "for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" What will a person gain in exchange for their very being? Romans chapter 8, verses 13, 14. Chapter 8, verses 13 and 14, is scripture that proclaims universal and absolute truth. If you live according to the flesh, which desires its own thing, folks, you will die. Now, that's not talking about physical death. It's talking about eternal death and torment. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. And folks, that doesn't mean live in this human life on this earth, but it means eternally. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the children of God." Are you listening to me? Brothers and sisters in Christ, though not all Christians will die physically, every single Christian, without exception, must die to self and live for Christ, who is our life. And in closing, again, all Christians following Christ are born to die to self, that they may live forever with Christ. Amen.